No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell, 'cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth, and I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick out the soul, pour another glass of that rock and roll, turn up the band, find the hole, gonna lose control tonight. What do you want from me?
Good morning to you. It is a Monday morning, and it is foggy. I'm going to talk about commuting in just a couple seconds for you. Hope you had a wonderful weekend as we get into this final push before Christmas is upon us. And shopping and tipping. I got a little old lady, a lovely little old lady. Is that wrong to say little old lady? I mean, I'm 41, so I mean, I'm close. Gave me a whole bunch of trouble at the grocery store on the weekend. And I'm going to tell you what she said and why she was absolutely completely right. She scolded me. She scolded me. She was being kind of, you know, like a caregiver of sorts. So we'll talk about why she scolded me and how I've changed my behavior since I got schooled by the little old lady. That's going to come up for you. Who do you tip during the holidays? I hope we can get to this one today. Because we also have Chantel Hyde coming in, Canada's dating coach, after 9:30 this morning. So if we don't get to holiday tipping today, we will absolutely get to it this week. Because if you tip everybody, this list wants you to tip. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to be broke. And I feel like I'm broke enough already. There's a lot of people on here that I didn't even consider to be like tippable. Is that a word? Now. So I just kind of want to see where you guys all fall on that. Who do you tip? Who should you tip? Who don't you tip? Who gets the biggest tip? It's all a lot. So we'll talk about that as well. So let's start this morning with a great local story from here in Waterloo Region. I loved the buzz it was getting on social media last week and over the weekend as well. So joining us in studio today are Colin Calvert and Taylor Jackson. Hello, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Did I get your last name right? Yeah?
You did, Calvert. Good. You nailed it.
Okay. So Taylor Jackson, Matt is on the phone. Matt Scobell is on the phone. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you, Jennifer?
Good. Where are you?
I'm in Kenmore, Alberta.
So you're like, it's like 6 a.m., right?
It is, 6 a.m. right now.
God bless your little heart.
7 a.m. 2 hours behind.
7 a.m. Okay.
Not too bad.
Well, thanks for coming on with us this morning. So let's talk first of all about, so Taylor, you are well known in this community. You're an amazing photographer. Congratulations on the wedding.
Thank you.
Your own wedding.
Yeah.
Your own wedding.
It's very strange to be behind the camera and enjoy the day.
So. You just like selfie the whole thing?
Everyone that was at the wedding was a photographer.
So is that right?
It was challenging to choose just one. So
your new wife is Lindsay Coulter, who is one of our beloved Miss Oktoberfests and another amazing local entrepreneur and photographer too. So you two are pretty well known in this community. And when I was talking about that, Colin's like, well, I'm just an accountant. You're not just anything, Colin.
Thank you.
I can give you a little Monday morning boost first. And Matt Scobell, you are a man about town. At least you were one of our men about town. And then you decided you were going to go on this amazing Canadian adventure. So tell people kind of where you are and what you're doing. I know you're in Canmore, but what's the project that you are in the midst of?
Yeah, so I did a huge 150-day tour across Canada. I bought an old 1987 Volkswagen Westphalia. Took it all the way out to Newfoundland and then all the way back to Vancouver Island. And ended up settling here in Canmore. It's about 10 minutes away from Banff, right in just on the outskirts of the Banff National Park. And I actually still have connections back to Waterloo. My amazing girlfriend still lives in Waterloo. And as well, one of our clients for my new company I'm with right now is based in Toronto. So I'm spending quite a bit of time back in Waterloo and doing that direct flight from Calgary to Waterloo with WestJet.
Matt, you'd be a terrible Ontarioian if you didn't go out west for a while. It's like the cool thing to do, right?
It's true. You got to do it once, right?
You got to check out
the mountains.
You do.
Sure.
Okay, so whose idea was this project? The project is plane versus train versus car. And this was a financial analysis of travel from Kitchener-Waterloo to Toronto. So whose brainchild was it?
Well, since it was a financial analysis, then it's typically it was the accountant, of course.
Right.
Guilty.
But it actually started with me. I was driving into Toronto for a meeting a couple weeks ago, and it took me almost 3 hours to get in. And I was just, you know, I'm living in the mountains now. I don't have time for this stuff. I was stressed out. I was like, I don't have the capacity to deal with this drive. So I heard about this new flight, 18 minutes to Toronto, and I went to Colin, who's got an awesome, you know, accounting, finance, CFO business in town, and I said, can I justify, you know, the cost of flying into Toronto for a new meeting? Based on, you know, how much time it's going to take me, you know, my billable rate, all these questions, and then call in kind of typical call-in fashion, instead of just, you know, working it through in a spreadsheet, said, you know, let's do an experiment.
Well, I still use a spreadsheet, though. Let's be serious.
Once an accountant, always. So I'm sorry, and the cost of that flight is what, $125 each way?
Yeah, it works out to $125 after all taxes and fees and everything each way from the Waterloo Airport to Billy Bishop, Toronto Island.
Colin, can you write that off? Is there a loophole there for?
It's travel for business. So.
Travel for business. Would you give us a different answer if the mics were off? Like, could you do that somehow?
No. You know, us accountants, we try to stay off the record as much as possible.
No emails,
just phone calls.
Right. Let's do this in person. Okay, so in this experiment, so Colin, your idea, you're going to drive. Matt, you're going to take the plane. And Taylor, you got the train.
Yeah.
You got the train. And how did they kind of loop you into this project?
I saw them post on Facebook that they were doing it the day before they did it. And I was like, well, I should take the train. And I found out that Colin didn't even really have a purpose to be downtown either. So he could just drive me home as soon as we arrived. And then I'd be back at home by noon. So sounded like a good way to spend a day.
No photo shoots that day, clearly.
No,
not
was,
a photo shoot to do that
just
day.
Personal curiosity, because it's, as somebody that grew up in Kitchener-Waterloo, like we've always had this debate in our minds that like, oh, like what's going to be faster? And now we actually got to do it, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been here. I think this is my 14th year here, but the progression of chaos on the 401. I mean, just in the amount of time I've been here is so remarkable, and I mean, not necessarily in a good way. And of course, we talk about this all the time. We had Catherine Fife in here talking about this last week. We've had a lot of local politicians who've made this, you know, kind of their baby, that this has got to, there's got to be a better way. So Taylor, how much is the train?
It is $17.70 plus the Uber to the train station or the $7 a day parking.
Right. Okay. So you guys all kind of concoct. Look at the, he's getting
I'm
the thumbs
an accountant.
Up from the accountant. Put that on the spreadsheet. Yeah. Don't forget the Uber. Okay. So you guys kind of, you know, make this plan. And it was last Wednesday, right? Is
yes.
that right? Last Wednesday. So I know producer James over in our studio at right here at 570 News is going to link on Twitter. At 570 News, the full video of the experience that he already did. Excellent. Of course he did. You guys are all over it. Why aren't my children more like you? I have to nag them a lot more. So it's up there right now. So you can go and check that out. I'll just give it a real quick retweet right now too from @JenCampbell77. So you can go and watch this video. I got to tell you guys, it was my son's birthday on Saturday. So I was up early preparing for this birthday, but I was so excited to see the video posted. I was like, oh, I'm going to take 20 minutes to watch this. And I'm certainly glad I did. So driving versus flying versus train. It is, it's been tweeted out for you right now at 570news.com. So let's take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we are going to hear the surprising results of this experience. Also, Taylor has brought a musical instrument. Perhaps we'll have an interlude because we all know, you know, traveling from Kitchener-Waterloo to Toronto takes a while. Maybe we'll have some songs in there too. So let's take a quick break and come back. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show. The story continues after this on 570 News.
when extreme weather hits. Count on the 570 Extreme Weather Center.
Thanks for coming back with us this morning. So we have Taylor Jackson, Colin Calvert, and Matt Scobell on the phone line joining us this morning to talk about the experiment plane versus train versus car. This was an analysis, a financial analysis of travel from KW to Toronto. But I have to say, I mean, the time really was of the essence, of course, right? Colin, so it starts as like, what's the best thing to do financially? But often, you know, what's your time worth? We were just talking about that too, right? That plays into it as well.
Yeah, and that's part of the analysis was we called it the indirect cost section, where we said, let's take a look at how much time you can actually be effective while you're doing it, because it's only one piece to look at. Okay, how much do we actually have to shell out to make it from A to B? And then we added on top of that our qualitative features, which was looking at who's going to be the most tired. I mean, you see Taylor on the train playing the ukulele with his business bourbon.
Nothing to do on the train.
And me, like, I got away with a really good drive, actually. I got really, really lucky.
You did.
But even still, it was stressful. It was more stressful because I desperately wanted to beat both of them so badly because no one believed that I could.
Yeah.
But
emotionally taxing. We were just talking about that. I mean, doing that every day, it's a lot. I mean, it's unpredictable. It's stressful. You know, it really kind of, I mean, for me anyway, I just can't imagine doing that drive in a car every day. If it was the exact hour that we all know it could be, if traffic flowed well, it might be something different. But I guess, Taylor, you could have worked on the train. Now, you chose to have your ukulele and a bit of bourbon with you. But you could essentially have, you know, busted out a laptop. Is there Wi-Fi on the train?
I don't believe there's Wi-Fi on the go.
Okay.
There is on the VIA train.
Right.
But the problem with it was that it's fine up until, I'd say, roughly half the journey. It's possible. And then as soon as you hit, like, Georgetown, the train starts filling up. It gets, like, uncomfortable in there. And
wow.
Feels like you're on a subway downtown for an hour of that trip.
Right. So you cannot be working comfortably then. Okay. Matt on the phone from Canmore this morning. Everybody, I mean, I really thought you had it in the bag, Matt, because you're fancy and you're like in this elite group of people who can afford, you know, a $200 commute a day. I really thought that you were going to have it. So don't reveal yet what happened. Let's talk about that day. So how did we execute this experiment? Once again, you can see it all. It's a great video. You'll enjoy it. Everybody will enjoy it. There's lots of comedic relief in there, too. At Jen Campbell 77 or at 570 News, we've tweeted it out. So how did it go? How did everybody kind of, where was the starting point? How did you execute this to make sure it was all fair and square?
I feel like we're about to spoil Star Wars.
I know, don't spoil. I don't want you to spoil it either, but I guess we kind of have to.
Well, it started out at the time that we set was 6:47 in the morning. And we did that because that was the time that Taylor's train was leaving. That was a good time for me to be able to leave from we started at the train station in downtown Kitchener. That would be a good time for me to leave to head to the airport to be there in plenty of time, you know, to board the plane, go through security, and fly to Toronto. And it was a good time for Colin to take off to drive. So it was a standard time. We left all at 6:47. The train took off. I got an Uber to the airport. Colin got in his Ford Escape and drove to Toronto. So it just started at the same time. And then we documented the whole thing. So the goal was, you know, let's get all the video we can of that event. And then at the end, we'll cut it together and show people not only you know, which one of us got there first, which was kind of the fun and the, you know, the craziness of it. But also, what was our experience like? You know, were we stressed out? Were we dealing with, you know, different obstacles and different issues? So that's kind of how it came together. And I don't know if you want us to go through what happened or.
Absolutely, for sure. Because when at the beginning, you know, first of all, gosh, it's so much fun to watch again. I encourage you to do that because you like it. So at the beginning of the video, Taylor, you're on the train, but and Colin, you're leaving the parking lot and you're kind of noticing, well, Taylor's train is not leaving on time. Mm-hmm. You made that observation quickly. And then tell me about what happened with the tape in the car. What was that all about?
Okay, so we had this ridiculous idea where we thought, how cool would it be if I could have this big red X on the top of my car so that if Matt's flying over top of me, he could actually pick it out And then everyone that complained, the plane could say, hey, now wave down a Colin who's stuck on the 401 in traffic right now. So I didn't want to mess up the sunroof on the top. So we got painter's tape. And it was, well, you saw it was like 6:30 in the morning and it was minus 14 out. So I'm trying to tape down the top. And it must have been 45 seconds into the drive. The big back part of it broke free. And then as soon as you get up to 100 kilometers an hour, it was just flapping in the wind. It drove me nuts the entire way there.
So you have traffic, you have the, you know, the pressure of the experiment, and you have that incessant kind of flapping happening in the back. Okay. And Matt, you get to the airport. And again, you know, watching all this, I'm like, oh, Matt is winning this competition. I mean, why would they offer such a, you know, pricey, fancy service if they can't deliver on it? So who wants to pick it up? So we're kind of halfway through, you know, or we're at least you two, Taylor and Colin, you two are rolling.
Yeah, we're doing all right. I really had nothing to do, though. I just got on a train and I sat there. Mm-hmm. And so I was just kind of reaching out to the guys to be like, so, like, where are you at? Like, can you give me any hints? Because half the fun of this was actually watching back the video and watching what Matt was doing when I was doing nothing and what Colin was doing. And yeah, at some point, Matt got in touch and was like, I haven't left the ground yet. And it was a little bit after 8, and he was supposed to pretty much be landing in Toronto at that time. So,
but I didn't know. So I, when I was running and when we got there, wasn't faking that. Like because I had the phone up and I could see messages coming through, but it was pretty far away from me in the car, so I couldn't actually read what they were saying.
Right.
And when I got there, I was like, I'm not taking even a second to read these messages. I'm making it there.
You're going. So Matt, tell us what happened at the airport.
So, I mean, the thread in all this was actually a meeting. I mean, this was an important meeting.
You legitimately had to be there at 9 a.m. These two were just in it for the ukulele. So that's very important, yes.
Which added to the drama. I mean, I thought for sure there's no way, right? I thought worst case, maybe I'm a little bit late, but like I was almost like the sure bet. And then it was a matter of what was going to happen with Colin and Taylor. So I get to the airport, you know, early in the morning. It's just before 7 o'clock, and there's nobody at the airport. And this lady outside basically says, "You should go inside. Your flight is canceled." And I'm freaking out. I'm like, "There's what? Like I'm losing it." I run inside. I go to the front desk. I like talk to the person. Like, what's going on? And the guy's like, "No. Your flight's not canceled. They changed the flight around last night to get the plane here early so that there would be no issue with your flight. You're fine." So now I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm relaxed. I'm feeling great. And what happened was, what I found out after was the people at Fly GTA. Now, this is like, if you watch the video, you're gonna look at this and go, you know, what a disaster. You know, you guys were there late, all these problems. But these guys were honestly, truly, they did everything they could to make this thing work, and they just had the worst run of luck. So normally they leave their plane in Toronto. They fly the plane to Kitchener-Waterloo in the morning. They pick up the passengers and they return to Toronto because they have their actual hangar sitting in Toronto. They found out that we were doing this thing and they thought, let's not take a risk. Let's fly the plane to Kitchener overnight, leave it in Kitchener so that it's there waiting, and then pick him up and fly him to Toronto in the morning. And when they did that, they left the plane outside and it was minus 14, which you can see Colin alludes to in the morning how cold it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cold that the plane wouldn't start.
So they tried to give themselves an advantage and really they end up screwing themselves kind of.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Because it's the same parallel for me, right? Like I was trying to come up with a good solution, a clever solution to get to Toronto on time. I did something I've never done before. I flew. And they were trying to come up with a clever solution to make sure that I was going to get there on time. And they did something they'd never done before, which was fly the plane in the night before. And as you can tell, you know, I'm sitting there in the video, I'm sitting there like waiting and waiting, you know, for this plane to go. And when they tell me that that plane's not taking off that morning, I mean, I cut a lot of the video out, a lot of, you know, swaying, crying.
Not safe for work.
Every emotion.
Yeah, you were genuinely rattled. I mean, you had a place to be. Okay, so, and as the video, you know, and again, you still have to watch it because it's just so well done. Okay, so, I mean, I guess no secret here, Colin, the car traveler. I mean, it was, Taylor, you come in, Colin, you're already there, and you were the winner.
I was, by
you
a long shot.
By like 20 minutes.
You got us coffee.
I went
Timbits.
Across the street and waited in a long Tim Hortons line. That's how confident I was.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And Matt, I mean, arrives there, you know, what, an hour late, Matt?
Yeah, so they went, you know, again, flight GTA, responded. They flew a new plane in. That plane landed, I think, at around 9. They flew me to Toronto. And then by the time we got off the Toronto Island Airport, I was there just after 10.
So now...
So I was an hour and 15 minutes, hour 10, 15 minutes late.
How did the meeting go?
Well, it was a little rough at the beginning. And, you know, this is the really tough thing, because legitimately, the decision, if I look back, the decision to fly based on that 9 a.m. meeting was a bad decision, because, you know, the risk level of something going wrong with the plane equals, like, total disaster. Like, you cannot make it to Toronto.
Right.
You know, if there's a
too
little
late.
Delay with the car, you might be late, but it's not that bad. And when I got there, the thing, and this was echoed by, there was a couple, 4 people on the plane, and they all had meetings of some sort that they were trying to get to. And when you show up late to a meeting and, you know, you got stuck in traffic, people can relate to this. They understand.
Sure.
When you show up to a meeting and you're like, my plane wouldn't take off.
Yeah.
Like, the reaction is just like, what are you talking about? So it was really painful for me. Luckily, they understood. And, you know, they understood that this whole thing wasn't for the video. Mm-hmm. The video came after. But yeah, it was a rough day for me.
So, the car was the fastest. The train was the most economical.
Yeah. And yeah. I would say the most consistent over time
right.
as well. Although we need to do another test with the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because
of course
there was, some things out of our control, but I think that the train, like 9 times out of 10, is going to be there. Basically the one that leaves here at 6:47 a.m. lands in Toronto, or arrives in Toronto at 9:10. So you're there at 9:10 and basically you just have to like run to your meeting if you want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But very few times you're going to be delayed more than like probably 15, 20 minutes, I would say. Whereas the car...
Yeah, it's a total toss
up. It's a total toss up. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it was so much fun to watch. So Colin, what do you recommend then? Do you recommend the train?
Well, so I think what we found was the train was both the cheapest option, just purely from how much money you spend. That's using the mileage reimbursement rate, which is supposed to capture all the things that happen to your car while you're driving. And that would be the cost to a business if they had an employee who was doing that trip. But also it was really just the certainty around it,
right,
which really adds a lot of value in that trip where Taylor can work. Like he said, it's not going to be maybe more than 15, 20 minutes. Versus the drive could be anything. Like, I look relatively stress-free because I really thought it was going to be 3 hours.
Yeah.
So when I'm in the car and I'm getting close and everything seems to be going my way, it's bringing the stress level down. But if you're playing that game a couple times a week or even once a week for the whole year, that could really
kind of ruins the day before as well, because like all night I would just be kind of like
stressed.
Do I leave at 7:10 today? Yeah. Do I leave at 6:50?
Yeah.
Like it's just something that you unnecessarily worry about. Mm-hmm.
It was such a interesting, relevant conversation and experiment for those of us who live in Kitchener, Waterloo. And we're out of time. Taylor, we didn't even get time for you to play the ukulele.
It's okay, but I'll come back for a concert.
Please do that. And if you want to hear Taylor's, what is it called? Work bourbon song?
Business bourbon.
I was song.
Just coming up with songs on the train.
And a Bitcoin song. That's
and a Bitcoin song.
And Bitcoin was good too. You can go and watch that video. We just tweeted it out at JenCampbell77. Thanks so much to you, Matt Scoble, for joining us via phone from Canmore, Colin Calvert, and Taylor Jackson in studio. Thank you.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank you. We can't wait for the next video. Thanks. It's 9:30. News is next. And then we are going to talk dating. Christmas date. Is it different? Is dating different at Christmas than it is the rest of the year? Chantel Hyde is Canada's dating coach, and she is up next on The Jennifer Campbell Show.
You can scroll through your selfies all day.
Let me take a selfie.
Or put some actual news in your newsfeed. Click on 570news.com or go to your app store and download the 570 News app.
Okay, it is 9:35. Thanks for coming back with us. Again, the experiment that we just talked to Taylor and Colin and Matt about is called plane versus train versus car. And it is on Twitter for you right now at 570 News or at Jen Campbell 77 on Twitter. That takes it to takes you to it as well. Okay, so it before we switch segments here, because I know we're going to run out of time. We always do when Chantal Hyde is here. We always have so much fun, and she is here, Canada's dating coach. I want to tell you really quickly about the old lady who gave me, you know what, at the grocery store. So I'm shopping, and as a lot of us do, we use that place where the baby goes to put the purse. And because I am I have a lot to do, and we have a lot of shopping happening. My purse was kind of open because I needed a pen, and then I needed the list. And so this lovely little old lady came to me, and she said, "You cannot leave your purse open like that as you shop. Someone is going to pluck your wallet out of your purse. It happened to me years ago. Don't do that. Zip up your purse," which I did. And so I thought, she's absolutely right. I mean, when you turn your back for more than 2 seconds, somebody can for sure, pluck your wallet out of your purse. But then I saw this morning, and I thought this was really quite a cute idea. This is from a police department, actually, in New Hampshire. And they posted this tip on Facebook. So listen up. Ladies, I'm talking to you because we mostly have purses. Or if you are a man with a purse, this might work for you as well. When you use the shopping cart, you need to, use the child safety belt and clip your purse in there. So if somebody was to come and to kind of grab it, they would feel some resistance and probably leave it and then move on to someone else, which is terrible. I mean, I don't want anybody's purse to get stolen. So that's why I want everybody to use this little tip. What do you do if you have a child in that seat? I don't actually know. They actually said that if you don't, if you do have a child in the seat, or if the cart doesn't have the kid's seat, then you can have one of those clips. You know, those kind of, they're like $2 or $3, those metal clips. Is it called a carabiner clip? I think it is. Carabiner clip. You can attach your purse, strap to it, and then clip it onto the cart. I thought that was wonderful advice. Anyway, okay, Chantal Hyde is here also full of wonderful advice. Hi!
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm so good.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, we have lots to get to today. I know you have a packed schedule. I like it when you come in because not only do I learn so much and get, you know, wonderful ideas about meditation and love and relationships, you just come with a wealth of knowledge. So really, I got an easy Monday job today. So where are we starting?
I love making your job easy.
Thank you.
So I want to basically put out a challenge to the listeners.
Okay.
I want to challenge them to make at least one relationship in 2018 better than it was in 2017. And what I want to do is I want to give them a strategy for making that better.
So we're not even specifically talking about a love relationship
here. It can be any kind of relationship because, I mean, fundamentally we are human beings and we do tend to behave in a somewhat linear way, which is why it's easier. It's easy for people like me, like sociologists, psychologists, people who study human dynamics to kind of understand where you're going based on where you are today because we are linear. And so when you understand that, you can really dissect us and you can get where you are anywhere in your path. Like you can understand, you can look at where you are and go, oh, wait a second. Let me have a different perspective about this so that I can change the outcome in the future.
So it's kind of being really self-aware.
Yes.
Or being lucky enough to have someone like you to help us identify those patterns. And so when you say linear, obviously if people want to, you know, visualize that, you can just draw a line and you kind of can mark eventful things that have happened in your relationships in the past and perhaps start to identify patterns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when you can identify the pattern, then you can diverge from the pattern. So now you can choose a different outcome. So if typically your pattern is, you know, for instance, when it comes to fighting, is I feel hurt and it escalates and it gets bigger and I retaliate and it hurts my partner and they, you know, it gets bigger for them. They retaliate on and on and on it goes. This is a never changing pattern. But when you understand the sequence of events that happens between the hurt and the dissolution of the relationship, for instance, and that's the extreme, like, you know, it starts with the hurt, the extreme end of it is the hurt never stops and ultimately the relationship is dissolved. So when you understand the sequence of event that happens within that scope, then you can say, oh, you know what? I don't want the disillusion of the relationship. I don't want it to get so bad. This is where I am in this pattern. I'm going to change my mind, change my behaviors, change the way I'm thinking, and I'm going to change the outcome.
And it's hard. It's hard as a human to kind of look and accept your responsibility or your part or your behaviors, because I once heard somebody who worked in the American military, and they were talking about how the biggest block in terms of, you know, eventually coming to world peace is that when you're fighting with someone, everybody thinks they're the good guy.
Yes.
Everybody thinks they're right.
You know why?
But if we don't try to, and she was talking on a bigger scale, right? She's talking about, you know, like countries who've been at war for thousands of years. But yet you have to kind of remind yourself, these people feel as validated in their feelings as I do. We all think we're right. No, I don't know why. Tell me why. Because we're egocentric narcissists.
We are designed to function well within a society because there is strength in numbers. When we come together in numbers, we are more powerful, we are more protected, and we are better fed.
Mm.
Right?
We're going way back to the caveman stuff.
Because the caveman stuff, it's a way of saying, how is it that we're designed so that we can survive?
Right.
Right? So it's just fundamental designs within our structure that help us survive as a whole. And so when we think we're so right that there's no way we can be wrong, that is actually a function in your brain designed to help you survive within a culture. Because if you were aware of every single wrong that was wrong about you, if you were aware of that, then you'd be like, I'm not worthy of being around people.
Second guessing yourself.
I'm not worthy of being around people. And so you would distance yourself from society. And now you're the lone wolf. And now your chances of survival are reduced. And so there's a function in your brain that overlooks those things about you that are kind of wrong. And it helps you fight your rightness. And that sense of rightness gives you a sense of belonging within society.
So it might keep you alive, but it's certainly it's not going to keep you happy or mentally healthy.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
It's ignorantly alive, but not necessarily happy, because you can still feel right about yourself and function well within society.
Okay. So we have lots of this information talking about identifying our patterns, looking at our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a while for some people to get there, and some people will need help. Some people need somebody like you to kind of bring that awareness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Step by step by step, which is what I want to do with the listeners. And so basically, I first of all want to give 5 listeners a gift of getting this started. So today, the first 5 people to go to CanadasDatingCoach.com to sign up on my website are going to get an email from me saying, okay, you get one of my books for free. I've got 5 self-help books and 1 book about spirituality, which is just about understanding the 3 parts of your fundamental nature, which is your biological animal, your logical mind, your spiritual essence, and looking at the 10 aspects of life where you can fit that in perfectly and really just be happy throughout all these different aspects of your life. So 5 people today can go on my website, sign up, get an email from me saying, which book do you want? Pick the book that they want. They're going to get it sent to their house, signed, sealed, and delivered. This is your kickstart to having a more awesome 2018 in terms of your relationship with somebody else.
And those 5 books, I mean, cover a lot of emotional territory when it comes to relationships. You're talking to single people. You're talking
getting
to
over a breakup.
Getting over a breakup.
Finding the right relationship.
Yep.
Making it work.
Yep.
And not having any more fighting. So wherever it is that you are, you know, I've got you.
Yeah.
I have you, essentially. Yeah. And then I'm going to give you tips, and it's going to be step by step by step. And you can go to my website as well. You're going to get like my monthly newsletter. It's going to give you the next step. And every month you're going to get a tip on how you can deepen that relationship, how you can create a closer connection with whoever it is that you're choosing to have that better relationship with in 2018.
Okay. So, you know, that's a great offer from you. people are going to get presents right now. So you heard her, first five people that do that. But if you're, I mean, go there anyway, no matter whether, you, and buy the book if you don't get the free book, because
I give a lot of free advice on my website.
You really do. You really do. Okay. So creating better relationships. Are you going to give us more?
So what we're going to start with today is understanding the seven steps that happen from the moment you were hurt to the moment where you're like, I just can't do this anymore. I need to get out of this relationship.
So we're in the relationship.
You're in a relationship with somebody. Doesn't matter who it is, a friend, a partner, whatever, that very first thing that happens is a transgression. And it's not necessarily the transgression that leads to the dissolution. It's the lack of apology. It's the lack of remorse from the other person that really escalates things to the next level. So when somebody, and sometimes it's in our head what that transgression is. So let's just be clear that, you know, for example, when my husband and I were facing each other and he'd say, okay, I'm going to my son's hockey game. And then there's like, you know, the parents are going out for a bite to eat after. And then I go, okay, hockey game's going to take this long. Bite to eat is going to take this long. And then at the time when I thought he should be coming home, I'd start getting antsy. And then from antsy, I get annoyed. From annoyed, I get angry. Mm-hmm. And then by the time he came home, I was all worked up. And I'd say,
antsy, annoyed, angry.
Oh, yeah.
Those three A's. Right? Yes. Yes.
Okay. So he'd come home and I'd be like, right? And he'd say, why are you upset? And I'd say, well, you should have been home by here. He'd say, I didn't tell you when I was going to be home. You made something up in your mind and then you got upset.
Expectations.
Exactly. Expectations are a big relationship killer.
And is it okay to have expectations as long as they're verbalized?
You need to take responsibility for what's going on in your head at all times. At all times. So, yes, I could say to my husband, well, I would assume that you'd be home around 9 o'clock, right? And then he can say, well, I don't know when I'm going to be home. You know, I own my expectations, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if I create expectations and I don't say anything, like with him coming home at 11 instead of 9 o'clock, I never said, I think you should be home. I think you'll be home. Are you coming home at 9? Right. Never said anything about that. So him coming home and to an angry person, is that his responsibility or is that mine? Because I never said anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like it a lot.
Right. So the first step, the first thing that happens is hurt. It's a transgression that's met with indifference. There's a lack of apology or remorse. The second step from there is fear. And fear is, it's one of those things. It's very natural. It automatically clicks in our head. It's a protective measure designed to keep us from being hurt again. So for instance, you know, when I was little, you remember the coils on the stovetop, right? So it was red, it was hot. My sister was making chocolate chips. It was red. She took the thing off, turned it off. It was black. Those coils. So I was like, are they still hot? Right. And in my 8-year-old brain, let me test to see if they're still hot. I put my hand on the stove. After that, I was afraid of putting my hand on the stove again.
You learned your lesson.
Yes. Yeah, so fear is that mechanism that keeps you from getting yourself hurt again. Very natural to feel fear. But if nothing is done after fear, that fear turns into anger. And anger is basically, it's a byproduct of hurt and fear. So again, you're driving your car, somebody cuts you off, and you honk your horn and swear a blue streak. Before you got angry, what was that emotion? It was fear.
Yeah.
Right. Anger is a byproduct of fear. It's a byproduct of hurt. So again, if those first two emotions are not addressed, now you're getting into anger. And anger is basically you setting up your army. Mm-hmm. You are not going to hurt me again. And if left to its own devices, anger is going to start turning into the next emotion, which is revenge. So not only are you not going to hurt me again, but I'm stewing on this so much, I start trying to think about how you can feel what I'm feeling so you don't make me feel this again.
Right. Right. Yeah. So now
like,
it's a protective emotion to try to want to get revenge. I mean, it sounds so evil, but really you're just trying to kind of protect yourself, which I suppose is a little bit selfish, but natural again, right?
Right. And but here's the thing, though. Sometimes that revenge doesn't take place until a long time later.
Because you carry that, you don't
because
let it go.
Because you carry it and you carry it. And now you have an opportunity for that retaliation, for that thing that he did that hurt me. And now's my chance.
Yeah.
And it's a year later. And what happens is he's, or whoever it is that your partner is going around thinking everything is fine. And then, boom, you do a retaliatory action. What happens to them? Hurt, fear, anger, revenge. On and on and on it goes, and you keep piling it on top and on top and on top, and it starts cycling. And now you're both in a state of the fifth step, which is defensiveness. Mm. It's not my fault we're here. It's your fault we're here because you did this. Well, you did that and you did that. And so now it never ends because you keep doing that cycle, hurt, fear, anger, retaliation. Defensiveness. It's not me, it's you. Now this turns into the sixth step, which is blame. And blame is the most disempowering emotion you can possibly have because there is no resolution in blame. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to resolution, you are the most powerful person there is. If you do not take on the resolution, it never stops. And so it cycles in a disempowering kind of way. And it brings you to the seventh and final step.
Okay, don't tell them. We're going to take a break. We're taking a break. And the suspense builds. We find out what the seventh emotion is. Rage. Is that it? No. Just me? Okay, we're going to come back and find out what that final emotion is after this on The Jennifer Campbell Show.
The 2018 World Junior Hockey Championship. This is your home for all the action. 570 News.
We're back at 9:54. Chantel Hyde is Canada's dating coach. She is here talking about how to improve a relationship in 2018. Any relationship, but obviously we have love in mind this morning and every morning. Okay, so we went through all of the range and order of emotions that mm-hmm. happen when we don't deal and stop and reflect on that emotion in its moment.
And divert.
Well,
not even in this moment, because you can be swimming in any of these. You mm-hmm. can be at any stage for however long, it doesn't matter. Catching yourself is the key and going, okay, wait a second. Because what we think we're angry about isn't always what we're actually angry about. My partner can do something that hurts my feelings, but that hurt can actually be seeded from my childhood.
Sure.
So at any point, catch yourself and really analyze your feelings. Where did they come from? And the most important question is, how can I be responsible for my feelings and changing the outcome? So the most important factor of having a functional relationship is catching yourself in a negative emotion and going, how am I responsible for this? Mm-hmm. It could be realizing that you've made something up in your head.
Yeah.
Right? And owning you created an expectation and you became angry for something that you created.
Yeah. And that's a lot. I mean, because it's often big. It takes somebody else to say, okay, where's that coming from? Is that really what you're upset about? So training yourself to be able to do that internally is mm-hmm. a lot. I mean, you need someone to teach you, to get you to the point where you can do that. You do that on your website via a multitude of ways, including meditation, which is completely life changing. Okay, so should we get to the seventh?
The seventh
emotion.
One.
Okay, yeah.
This is the deadliest one.
Mm.
Hopelessness.
Yeah.
So hurt, fear, anger, revenge, defensiveness, blame, hopelessness.
Like indifference. I don't care anymore. It's hopeless. So I just am emotionally disconnected.
I can't.
Yeah.
You know, and that I can't feeling is I just don't know what to do. I can't figure this out. I can't change this.
I'm tired of the same.
It's exit strategy.
Yeah,
exit strategy time because I can't figure out anything else to do. And so instead of planning a future, I'm planning the demise.
Right. Gosh. Wow. So you can redirect from all of those things.
Even from
hopelessness?
Good Lord. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
And that's the thing about your books and your experience, Chantel, is that you talk very openly about how you use these techniques on your own relationship.
Not only about how I use them, how dysfunctional I was before I started using them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Own all of it, girl.
I do.
You 100%, do, girl.
100%.
You tell it all.
If I hadn't walked the path, how can I show you where to go?
We have, let's talk about that opportunity again because we're almost at, we have 30 seconds. So tell the listeners again what they're getting if they go to the website.
So again, I want you to kickstart this year on a better, like just developing a better relationship. So that 2019, 2020, right? Like I'm at 3 years now, not a single fight with my husband. And in those 3 years, it got to a point where he started falling more and more in love with me because he can trust his feelings because there wasn't going to be a disconnection and a hurt going on, right? So when you can create a relationship with your partner where the hurt, at least on your part, isn't happening, they can start doing the steps themselves of taking responsibility for the emotions, of avoiding the hurt, that kind of thing. But I'm going to teach you how to walk that path so that your partner can now follow you, just like my partner followed me.
Mm-hmm. You set the tone. We've talked about it.
You set the tone. Yeah. We are monkeys. We learn by imitating. Yeah. So I teach you how to lead by example. So go to my website, canisdatingcoach.com, sign up for my mailing list. I'm going to see you today. I'm going to send you an email and I'm going to say, which book do you want? Do you want Comeback Queen, the one about getting over a breakup? Do you want Fake Love Need Not Apply, which is about knowing the different kinds of wrong men that are out there? No More A-Holes, which is about choosing the right relationship after the first kiss. Once you find that partner, that first year, how do you make sure you set the foundation for the rest of the relationship? In Fix That, S-H-I-T, that's the one about you're in an established relationship and there's fighting. How do you get to a place where there's more connection, less fighting, more intimacy, a closer relationship? And then Say Yes to Goodness is about understanding the three parts of you, how they fit into the 10 aspects of your life, and creating a perfect cohesion.
So first five people that go there, what's the website?
canisdatingcoach.com.
You're going to get in touch with Chantal. She is going to get you started for a better relationship in 2018. We are completely out of time. Again, always so fun when you come. Thank you.
Always so fun, Jennifer. Thank you.
10 o'clock is your next news time, and Farwell on the way next on 570 News.